Hello world! Welcome to the Personal Computer Show, the original personal computer radio show. We are on tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on WBAI-FM 99.5. I'm Hank Key in the studio of PRN.FM with Joe King. You can listen to the stream on the internet or with your telephone on 712-775-6850. If you have unlimited telephone minutes, that you can use the telephone. We will entertain telephone calls on this show at the half-hour mark, and if you wish to comment or ask a question, the call number is 888-874-4888. The call number is 888-874-4888.
You know, Hank, a lot of folks are listening to this on the podcast that they download later in the week or later in the month. So I'd like to point out that the phone number you just gave out is only effective from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time in the New York area. For those who want to tune in to the podcast live, which is what we're doing right now is recording it, if you want to tune in there, take your internet connection on your computer and point it at PRN.FM, PRN.FM. If you want to listen to it as a podcast, you can, and you have an unlimited phone call situation, and you can call into 701-719-1003. That's 701-719-1003. And you can listen to the current podcast, or you can pick which episode you want to play by dialing 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, one being the latest or the current podcast, and the others a week before and so on. If you hang up or take another call during the time you're listening to the recording, it's not a problem. When you call back, they will automatically resume playing where you left off. You can also pause, rewind with RW, or go fast forward with FF. Hank?
You know, the Apple iPhone operating system is referred to as iOS, which was originally called iPhone Operating System, or iOS. So I'm going to take some poetic license and come up with an acronym called iOS to mean the Internet of Sales, and it started right after Halloween. You know, year after year, the holidays arrive a little earlier, and this year is really no exception. Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, was traditionally the day retailers met all their costs, and that's when they're able to make a profit. And that's why they call it being in the black, or Black Friday. Today, Black Friday simply means fantastic offers designed to get the shoppers into the store so you can buy the latest, the newest must-have gadgets that you don't need. Well, maybe you might need it, but I'm just kidding when I say, you know, must have that you have. And I think, you know, without the sales, most people won't even be buying it. And then Cyber Monday is a marketing term for Monday after Thanksgiving holiday in the United States. And it was created by marketing companies to persuade people to shop online. And it made its debut in 2005. So that's about 11 years ago. And Cyber Monday has quickly become the biggest online shopping day of the year. But now, the lines are blurred. Black Friday starts right after Halloween, and Cyber Monday starts at the same time. I call this the Internet of Sales. How many of us would be making purchases if the sales item was not hyped as a fantastic sale? Well, sometimes the stuff is too good to be bypassed and whether or not you need it. Now, let me ask you, do you really need another notebook? How about a brand new notebook from Dell for under $100? We're going to cover that a little later.
The answer to your question, Hank, is do you need another notebook? And the obvious answer is yes.
Well, we'll answer that because I have a whole lot of things that you have to consider if you really want to get it.
Yeah, okay? But you want another notebook.
By the way, you know, the latest hot news, and everyone should be aware of it, is that there is a plug-in for all these browsers, and it's called Web of Trust, or WOT. And it's a free plug-in that goes into Mozilla, Firefox, Chrome, and other browsers.
Hank, is that a software plugin or is it a dongle?
No, it's a software plugin, and because it plugs into a browser, the browser itself is software, so it's not a dongle. And what it does is that it flags each when you do a search and you hit all these websites, You know, it gives you a green flag or a yellow flag or a red flag, meaning, you know, the reputation of it. And this is all garnered with people who are entering, you know, who are familiar with the different sites. They flag it. So they do basically crowdsourcing of a collection of information from all the users who are participating in it. So in other words, if you want to go to xyz.net and you don't know what that is, well, you just do a search, and before you click on it, you see one of these flags, and that's supposed to help you. Well, as with many free services by a private company, of course, and this is a private company, you know, they provide a service, but what's the business model? They have to somehow make money. Just that, you know, they give away for free. Someone's got to pay the bills. So what they did was they collect a lot of the usage data, like such as IP addresses, so that the people who are using it, it identifies at least by area, where the usage originates. And then one of the things that most people don't realize is that when you key in a URL, let's say you want to key in, MSN, okay, MSN.com, and you do a search on, let's say, you want to buy a, let's say you want to buy a Corvette. And what happens is that it creates really another URL with MSN.com/blah, blah, 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 or Bing, or you go to Bing and so on. But the information that you're searching for, in many cases, sometimes it's you can't recognize it. Other times you can recognize it just by looking at it. And that information is all collected, and they sell this to third parties. Of course, the third parties are the ones that want to know, I want to be able to find out, Now, I did this recently, and it just dawned on me how they were doing it. I had gone to, I'll tell you what site I went to. I went to BH Photo Video. It's a photographic site, and I wanted to buy a particular gadget, and I said, okay, I see the price. And then I went to another site, and before I knew it, I had these, I had suggested other sites that do, you know, that people were saying, hey, you could buy this, here's the price, and so on. I said, wait a minute, how did they get that information? I didn't go back to the site, and, you know, why would the BH Photo Video give that information to another one? And guess what? It's basically passed on, and that's how they make their money. Well, there's a problem with this, okay? And the problem is that there's a report out of Germany that the information they passed out is supposed to be, anonymized, and they did not do a clean job of it, because if you can recover that information and recreate data on it, that's not very good. So in the case of Firefox, Mozilla, they pulled it off. If you have it, it gets dumped. And in the case of, Web of Trust, they have since suspended its usage, and they're going to start cleaning it up. So,
One of the things that I always tell folks is, if they're concerned with what Hank is just talking about, run it through a personal firewall first, and then you'll be blanked out and you'll be anonymized sufficiently.
Well, the thing is, I know that I was talking to our webmaster, and he says, you're anonymized, but you're not really, because they don't really care about your name. They have your IP address.
But if you use something like Surf Easy, which I use and is relatively free unless you need a powerful amount of storage, they don't have your IP address. It's filtered out.
Well, let me just put it this way. If you're currently using a Web of Trust in your browser, it's probably a good idea to manually uninstall it until Web of Trust has figured out how to correct this problem on the add-on. And it just isn't worth the risk of having your data leaked to third parties. You agree with that?
I agree with that.
Yeah, okay. Now, this was announced many months ago, and just so that people don't think that there was a bug and Microsoft snuck something on you, it had been announced by Microsoft that effective October 31st of this year, which is just last week or the week and a half ago, Microsoft has stopped selling Windows 7 and Windows 8.1 to system builders. In other words, by system builders, they're talking about manufacturers. And up until just very recently, manufacturers such as Dell, Lenovo, HP, and so on, they were still selling Windows 7 systems, still selling Windows 8.1 systems. because they had the OEM license to put it on. Starting with November 1, it's no longer available. So whatever you see is actually whatever is in the inventory of the pipeline of the retailers. And you might get a good deal if you don't mind, just doing it.
Can they still upgrade it?
Only if they can find a copy of build 1511. In other words, you can download Windows 10, but it won't upgrade because it's build 1607.
Even if you download it from Microsoft.
If you download from Microsoft. And so I had a phone call just the other day. Someone said to me, I see that there are certain sites that still has build 1511 available for download. Is it safe to do so? I says, if you notice that they are no longer ISO files. In other words, ISO files means it's a binary files as originally distributed by Microsoft. You take the ISO file and you just put a loader on it, and it becomes a certified, fully original distribution. And what many of these organizations have done is that they made it available, but since Microsoft says it's off the internet, they end up modifying it so that that's how they get around with saying, we're not, pirating. It's a loose definition of it. But what happens is that they add their own stuff on it. And I've tested it. Some of them add bloatware on it. Some of them think they're cute by taking certain things out of it. You have to find yourself a safe source.
Is there any source that you trust?
Well, I have copies of it, so that...
No, I mean on the internet. Are there any places you can recommend we go?
On the internet, we'll talk about that. That's all potluck, I'll tell you.
It's no one single spot that you would say, if you go to this URL, you're safe.
Well, let me put it this way. Excluding pirate sites, the answer is there is no other place. Okay.
And would you trust the pirate sites?
No.
So it's not included.
Well, first of all, the pirate site is I don't want to say they're not legitimate sites because they do have legitimate stuff you can download. So therefore, you really can't call it it's an evil site. So it's a mixed bag. Let me put it that way.
I know one way they can easily download or not download, but get hold of a 15. What is it? 15.
It's called Build 1511. The 1511 means that the 15 means that it was released in the year 2015, and 11 refers to November. So what you really want is something that was released in November of 2015, Windows 10. And the 1607 means that anniversary version that they make, it's really like the SP1, okay, to Windows 10 is really 2016. That's how you get the 1607 means it was released in July. In this case, it was released last working day of July.
Well, if our listeners can't find it any place else, Hank,
we'll talk about it one day.
I know one place they can get.
They can write to us. How's that? Okay. By the way, if they want to write to us, how do they do it?
PC Radio, PCRADIO, @gmail.com. And if you would, if it's a question for Hank or a question for me or just a question in general, please let us know up towards the top of the email.
Now, I want to talk about something where I get a lot of questions on it, and I know that with you, Joe, and our webmaster, Michael Horowitz, and myself, we always have the same answer. And that is like when you go onto the internet and you see offering of refurbished equipment, it comes from one of two sources. One, refurbished equipment is from the manufacturer, such as like HP, Lenovo, Dell, Acer, and so on. They sell refurbished equipment, but their definition of refurbished or refurbishment of equipment is different from a store, a retail store selling it.
Not necessarily.
Well, I know it's not necessarily. The retail store expands on it, okay? With the manufacturer, what they do is that, let's say they send a package out, and UPS or FedEx delivers it, and the person receiving says, I'm not accepting it for whatever reason may be. It may be like, hey, I see a dent on the box. I don't want it. Technically, there may be nothing wrong with it, but they take it back, And when they put in a different box, they cannot call that new. So they call it refurbished. The other thing that another definition that manufacturers use for refurbished is things which are heavily discounted, they call it refurbished. Another one is it's a discontinued item, but it's still in the pipeline. They call that refurbished. So for all intents and purposes, it's either, I would call it like new to new. The reason why I use the term like new is someone may be ordering something, like say from HP, and they find that the speaker doesn't work. And she says, hey, the speaker doesn't work. And maybe it's a day or 2 days old. They ship it back. They put this new speaker in. They recertify it. They call that refurbished too, okay? Now, with the stores, some of that refurbished stuff from the manufacturer goes to the retailer. And the retailer will sell that. But then I find that the retailers, in some cases, they would swap equipment around. Sometimes for a good reason, sometimes not necessarily a good reason. Like for one of the things I find is that if you go to a retailer, you know, a big box store like Micro Center or Best Buy or Fry's, what you should do is you have the configuration list, and what you should do is try to match it up, see if you can come up with a configuration list of what the manufacturer sold. If you don't get a match, that means something got substituted. Like, for instance, I won't tell you who, but I know they've done it, is that I say, wow, hey, the manufacturer is selling this refurbished item for such a price, and this big box store is selling it for, you know, the same model number for a lower price than the manufacturer. I look it up and I say, oh, wait a minute. The manufacturer has 8 gig memory in, and this one has 2 gig memory. So what they do is they subtract a little bit here and there, and
it's nothing new.
But it's honest though, because they tell you what the configuration is.
It's nothing new. I recall many years ago, you went into a retail store on 8th Avenue, and they were offering a very, very good price on a Commodore setup.
You know, when you say Commodore, you know how many people you can even know what a Commodore is.
It's true, but I'm talking about 25 odd years ago. And
he gave me a very good price, except that I said, is it new? He says, it's new. And what he did was he took out of the box the power supply. And I said, wait a minute.
And he offered that for sale separately.
Yeah, another $25. I said, no, the box said power supply. Where is it? He says, no, I'll give you back your money. I says, okay, give me back my money. He says, I'll send a check to you. I says, no. So I says, so I made a fuss. He said, I'll call the cops. Please do. He gave me, guess what? I made too much noise for him. He put the power supply in.
It was easier than go through the whole thing.
But by the way, they're out of business now. So I
the store and yeah, and yeah. Commodore's that model.
You know, I find that with many of the retail stores, they're really very good. But you find that if you're honest, you're going to get repeat customers. If you're going to be pulling a fast one, you're going to lose customers quickly. Now, with the refurbished equipment, there's two sites I check periodically, okay? One is HP Shopping, which means hpshopping.com is where HP sells sometimes they refurbish equipment, discontinue equipment. And the other site I go to, I have to do a search every time because they keep changing the name of it. But you just key in two words and you get to that site right away, okay? Just for search, key in Lenovo space outlet. Because sometimes they call it outlet.lenovo. Sometimes they call it lenovo.com/outlet. And
it's interesting. Of all the major manufacturers, Lenovo is the only one that, in my case, constantly bombards me with email sales of their refurbed store, the outlet store. I get at least two or three a week, and I can just click on a link. That's the easy way. Whereas with HP, I don't know, maybe one or two a month from their outlet store.
By the way, if anyone wants to make a comment or ask a question about something we've gone over, the number is 888-874-4888.
But remember, that's only from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday.
Right. on PRN.FM. Yes. Let me repeat that again. 888-874-4888 between 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time on PRN.FM. And now, I at the top of the show, I talk about a $99 or less than $100 notebook from Dell. Let me talk about that now. I figure that I gave the tease out there. I really got to make good on it. Yeah, right?
We teased it out on Twitter. We gave a tweet this morning, and okay. A few people have let me know they're more than a little interested.
Now, it's by the way, with a lot of these Black Friday sales, you got to do a lot of search on it, and I do a lot of research, and this is not an apparent one because obviously they're going to have, I mean, if it was, you know, a regular advertisement, they'll be swamped and, it'll be sold out within a minute, okay? So let me tell you what it is, all right? Now, on this one, it's a Dell. It's a $99 that they're going to sell for the Inspiron 11-inch 3000 laptop. It will go on sale on Black Friday in limited quantities. Now, I'm going to tell you in limited quantities, but it doesn't start at midnight. In the United States, the company will sell the Inspiron 11 3000 for $99.99. So they can say it's less than 100, but let's call it $100, okay? And the sale starts at 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
On what day?
November the 24th, which happens to be Thanksgiving Day. So if you're eating turkey or roast beef or whatever you're eating, if it's $5.59, and if you want this, stop eating, go to the computer, and make sure the computer's working.
Hank, what kind of a deal is it? What does this this normally sell for?
It normally sells for $200. And
So it's half price.
It's half price, so when the quantities are out, it is out. And they do have quite a number of these in stock because it comes in three different colors. So obviously they have quite a number of them.
Are all colors on sale?
Yes. You want to know what the three colors
obviously.
Are?
Obviously.
Red, white, and?
Purple.
Blue. Red, white, and blue. Joe, let me tell you that this unit is not an Atom chip. That's a good part. In other words, a Celeron chip means it's a faster chip. I looked up the specs on the Celeron chip, and it's four times faster than the original Atom chip in a netbook. So anyone who has one of these original Atom netbooks, if you can go four times faster, if you find a netbook is a little slower or not meeting your needs, well, I'm telling you, this is four times the speed.
Well, what's some of the other specs on?
Now, the other thing is it comes with Windows 10 Home, okay? And with Windows 10 Home, it works fine, and it comes with 2 gig memory, and I did some research work on it, and this is one of the things that you have to be aware of, all right? Because on these low-cost units, they got to cut corners. This one does not cut corners, all right? You know how they cut corners? When they say 2 gig memory, he says, no problem at all. I'll take out the 2 gig memory. I'll put in a 4 gig memory and so on. This is not soldered on. So when you look at these low-cost units, do a little research to find out if the memory is soldered on.
But this is not soldered.
It's not soldered on. Now, I find that a lot of the low-cost Lenovo budget units, the memory is soldered on. So I just want to tell people that. But not all Lenovo low-cost units are soldered on. Some of them are soldered on, some are not. So you got to be very careful when you shop around. And the other thing is, when they talk about hard disk storage, it's not a hard disk. Come on. You know, it's 32 gigabytes of flash card storage. Nothing wrong with that. But some of these other low-cost budget units comes with 16 gigabytes of flash card storage. Now, you could say, what do you do if you need more storage than that? Well, my preference is if you have 16 or 32, try to get it with 32. And the reason for that is because the operating system fits into that easily. It's, you know, it takes about 10, 11 gigs if it will fit into that flash card storage. Now, Joe said to me, so why would you want the 32 and not the 16? Well, unless you know how to do it, all right, the virtual paging is on that operating system, and unless you know how to reassign that and move things around, you will find that you're going to run very slow because it needs all that virtual storage to page programs in and out, And if you put it onto an SD card, the SD card runs slower than memory.
But if you're fairly competent, heavy user, you can hack around on that.
But then that brings up the other point is not all budget systems have a card reader, be it an SD card or a micro SD card. Now, you could say, well, okay, if it has a USB bus, I'll put an external hard drive on. Yes, an external hard drive will run decently. However, as a portable unit, can you imagine all these dongles and everything hanging out of it? You got to carry it around.
Well, Hank, I have a USB adapter. It looks like a very thick USB drive. It's about, maybe a quarter of an inch thick. And I can fit into it either an SD card or a micro SD card, and it just plugs into a USB port. It's a little bit slower, but for my needs, it's perfect.
Now, this unit, I was a little surprised because Bluetooth is on it. So you have Bluetooth capability on this unit. So that's a big plus.
It's a plus.
Yeah. Now, obviously, one of the things you want to know is, you know, the standard stuff, okay? Does it have an audio jack? Why do you want an audio jack? Well, you'll find that on these low-budget units, they use very cheap, tiny, teensy-weensy tin horn speakers, I call them, that you can, it's barely audible. And if you want to put headphones on or if you want to put some decent speakers on, hey, you know what? You want to make sure it's an audio jack, 3.5 millimeter. By the way, this is something that Apple says you don't need it anymore. I disagree with them. And, of course, what you want to know is there a USB bus available? Now, if it's 3.0, great. In other words, if you have a 3.0, 2.0, that's fine, too. This unit has one USB 2.0 and one USB 3.0. That's good.
That's very good, and if you need more than that, you can put a hub on each one of those and gain another 8 or 10 ports.
Now, when I said that it has a SD card attachment, it's not really an SD card. It's micro SD. Okay, so in a way, it's good. I know that the micro SD, you know, like with these any cards that you put into a computer, it's something will stick out, okay? And that was one of the things that Apple was talking about, why they don't want it, because it sticks out and it ruins the look of it. And I said, you're out of your mind.
Hank, there's a new little thing that I got imported directly from China. It came with a padded envelope, and it took a while to get here. It's about the size of my pinky fingernail. That is about a quarter of an inch by 3/8 of an inch. Holds a full gigabyte of memory, and it's storage. And
I have news for you. A gigabyte is no big deal. You said terabyte.
I meant terabyte. I'm sorry. It did mean terabyte. It sticks into the port, the USB port, and it barely comes out of the chassis, maybe an eighth of an inch out. So it doesn't have a chance of jumping out.
Wait a minute. I got to interrupt you because I remember many years ago I was in your office and you dropped one of these micro SD cards.
And to this day, I have not found it.
And I said, Joe, you know how we can find it? Let's pull out the vacuum cleaner. No. You pull out the vacuum cleaner, you're going to vacuum the whole thing away.
But we did pull it out, and we still never found it. You know, those micro SD cards, Hank, are very, very light. They're as light as a fingernail.
Well, now, the reason why I like the Bluetooth is that all of these notebooks come with what I call finger glide, you know, to navigate. And if you want to some people prefer a mouse because the finger glide is some people is less than positive. So if you have USB ports and you have a Bluetooth, that means you could put the mouse and an external keyboard using Bluetooth, or you can put the speaker through the Bluetooth. So you have all those options. So this unit has all those options.
They have them all built in. Now, understand that all of the options Hank just talked about are available as third-party add-ons.
Yeah, well,
external. You can use one of your Bluetooth ports, one of your USB ports to add a Bluetooth dongle.
What is it that, I pick up old books, that my kids used to read, and it was Aesop Tales. And a guy, one of the animals invited, I wish I could remember the name, he invited all the neighbors to come for a meal, and he would provide the pot and the water, and you know, someone will bring the vegetables, someone will bring the meat, and so on. And he just provided the pot. In other words, you'll find that these low-cost budget units is nothing more than a basic pot, and you have to add everything to it. Now, I went to a meeting a couple months ago, and the person came in with his notebook. He was very proud of having this little tiny notebook, and he's going to give a presentation. I says, okay, let's hook it up to the LCD overhead display. Now, you have two options. What is it? VGA, because it's, you know, it's still in wide use, or HDMI, because now you find that all the newer notebooks don't use VGA because of the size of it. They use a HDMI or micro HDMI. It turns out his unit has neither.
Well, what was his output?
The screen, that's it.
The built-in screen. There was no way of having an external.
Well, fortunately, it was a PowerPoint presentation, so all we did was just copy it out to a flash drive and put it onto another system, you know. So those are the things that you have to watch out for. And so when you're buying a low-cost notebook, review what port connectors are available. And if the if the port connector needed is not part of the system, it's going to add to the overall cost and weight. And I was talking to you about, today with fuse boxes, you have these switches instead of you got to take out the fuse, put a new fuse in. And, you know, you use a AC power strip, right? Now, on your AC power strip, you have 4 outlets, 8 outlets, 6 outlets. And people think that because you have the outlets, you can plug a whole lot of things in. Well, if you have a 10 amp fuse or 15 amp fuse, which is standard in an apartment, and you think you're going to put a microwave on and a toaster oven on at the same time, it's going to blow. And so just because you have the connections by using a USB hub doesn't mean that you have the power, because most of these budget price systems have very small power units, like, you know, 22 watts, 30 watts. I mean, that's very small. So now, I think that, you know, one of the questions that I figure you might ask me, and I do have an answer for you, am I going to try to get one of these units?
I hope you are.
Well, the answer is yes. And why? Because on the one hand, I said to myself, Joe, I think this is a good topic to talk about. And then you said to me, but if you talk about it, then you have to compete with other people and to get it. Yeah, you know what? It's okay. Because if I can get it, I'll tell you what I would use the unit for. I would use this low-cost bargain notebook to be downloading of files so that, you know, if I happen to download files which are, let's say, malware files or files that are just terrible. Some of the legitimate software are just so poorly written that when you download it or it's enhanced. And the other thing is I want to be able to use it to run Linux distributions. You know, right now I've been running Linux distros on flash drives, and it's slow. And I like to be able to, you know, hey, let me install it. Because some of the Linux distros, most of them are full feature with a but, okay? And if you want all the features of a Linux distro, it's got to be on the hard drive.
Hank, there's a better reason than that.
What's that?
Nowadays, we get, because of the radio show and because of the podcast, we get a humongous amount of email. Now, a lot of that email comes with spam. The spam is malware. I don't like to download it on a real machine that I use in business or even a real personal machine.
You almost got caught, and it looks so legitimate. Why don't you tell the people about what it was? I think you had, was it a package? No, you made a purchase.
Oh, wait a minute. This is strange, because I'm always on the watch out for these things. But 2 days ago, I purchased a fairly large amount of stuff from Amazon. Not only was it good price, but it was convenient because they'll ship it right to my home. then this morning, I got in my email from Amazon with their logo and with their letterhead, I got a thank you note for the $8,941 purchase I made. And I said,
wait a minute. Is that pesos or dollars?
I said, I don't care what it is. I'm talking about yesterday I bought maybe, or 2 days ago I bought maybe $100 worth of stuff, and they're thanking me for the I was about to click on the open. They said, check the invoice before we ship. And I was about to click on the open, and it made me think that something was really wrong. So I examined the header of the email, which normally my email manager won't show me the header, but I have ways of looking at the header. And sure enough, it came from customer service at Amazon, period, something or other, dot, something or other, and then com. Now, if you just look at it fast, all you saw was the Amazon because it was truncated on a normal email header. Well, I never did open it up. I'd sent it simply to Amazon's. They have a fraud department. And I quickly got back a letter saying, thank you for sending it. We will examine it, blah, blah, blah. The point being that it can look very, very legitimate. And if you get a lot of email, then you want to get one of these cheap laptops just for your email. It'll be worth it.
Mm-hmm. Joe, the Personal Computer Show, radio show, we're really an extension of all the different computing clubs and organizations in the regional area of New York. And just want to tell you that if you want us to make an announcement for you, who should they send it to?
Again, please send it to pcradio@gmail.com. And subject line, put your organization name and meeting.
Yeah. Now, to make it easier for me, okay, name of organization, topic of discussion, the date and time and location. That's it. Because I know there's one that gives me a novel, and I have to go read the whole novel to pull out the information. And I've been telling them, look, please don't do that to me, okay? Otherwise, I'm going to stop.
And here's the absolutely free benefit. If you send it in to us on the podcast at the prn.fm show, we will also play it on the WBAI FM show. So you get twice as much publicity for the same money.
The New York Amateur Computer Club will be having a meeting tomorrow, How Internet Voting Leads to a Stronger Democracy, and this is right after the election.
How what kind of voting?
Internet voting leads to a stronger democracy.
Oh, I don't think you want me to make a comment right now.
Well, now, you know what? Everyone has a different point of view. The meeting is tomorrow, November the 10th at 7 p.m., and they meet at NYU, 32 Waverly Place, Silver Building, room 414. So since it's a university, a photo ID is required. So that's tomorrow in room 414, Silver Building, 7 p.m. The Long Island Macintosh User Group, or called LIMAC, meets on Friday, November the 11th at 7:30 p.m. And they will be meeting at Old Westbury Campus of New York Institute of Technology. They'll be meeting at the Anna Rubin Hall, or what is known as the 300 building. So that's tomorrow, LIMAC, Long Island Mac User Group, 7:30 p.m. The Princeton PC User Group will be having a presentation on Writing the Mobile Digital Revolution on Tuesday, November the 22nd, 7 p.m. They'll be meeting at Mercer County Library in Lawrenceville, New Jersey. And if you feel that Lawrenceville, New Jersey is not your part of New Jersey, you live in a different part, well, that same presentation will be given at the Brookdale Computer User Group, Writing the Mobile Digital Revolution, on Tuesday, November the 29th, the week after, at 7 p.m., and that will be at the Brookdale Community College, located in Lincroft, New Jersey, building MAS, room 100. The Westchester PC User Group will be meeting December the 1st, 7 p.m., at the Keller Williams Realty location at 120 Bloomingdale Road, first floor in White Plains. Now, this group, I really have to tell them, they got to fix their website, because if people go to their website, it's an old group, but they got to get someone to fix it, because if you look at their most recent meeting, it was in 2013. Now, I know that's not the case, and you either take that off so you don't confuse people, or tell them to call someone. But the Icon PC User Group will be having a presentation on December the 2nd on a Friday, and a presentation on a collection of fabulous freeware. And the meeting time is 6:45 p.m., and it's held at the Brentwood Public Library, 2nd Avenue and 4th Street, located in Brentwood, Long Island, New York. The Amateur Computer Group of New York will be meeting, I'm sorry, the Amateur Computer Group of New Jersey will be meeting Friday, December 2nd at 8 p.m. in Scotch Plains Rescue Squad, Scotch Plains, New Jersey. Danbury Area Computer Society will have a presentation on, this is one of my favorite subjects because I think people are talking about it, cable TV cord cutting, Tuesday, December the 6th, 7:30 p.m. And it's going to be held at the Danbury Hospital Auditorium in Danbury, Connecticut. And finally, the Rockland PC User Group up in Westchester will be meeting December the 13th on a Tuesday, 7:15 p.m., Rasser Room on the 4th floor, Palisades Moor in West Nyack, New York. And the reason why I'm giving it out is because people do listen on a podcast, and you know, they may get this podcast a week or 2 weeks later, and some of these meetings have already gone by, and oh, gee, what was the latest one? So I go what's available. And I tell the organization, look, you got a website, make good use of the website, but keep it pithy. In other words, you know, put on the home page. Don't tell me to go to the sixth or seventh of the page. I got to navigate to get there to find out what your meeting is. When you get forced people to go through that navigation, they're never going to go to your meeting. So on your home page, you should have the name of the organization, topic of presentation, the date, the time, location, and the room, period. It's very easy. And you'd be surprised how many websites don't have it that way.
Again, if you want to have your organization mentioned on these mics, send a message to Hank, pcradio@gmail.com. Hank,
Wait. I just want to add one more thing, Joe. Most people don't realize that with Google, one of the questions that is asked is, how do you get yourself raised in a search? In other words, instead of being ranked, you know, down in number 92, you want to be number 5 or number... What they do is they look at how often you modify the home page.
Yeah, that's one of the things that these scrubbers look for. They scrape out the date, which is always put down at the bottom by the webmaster. Hank, you were talking to me, and it's a very, very important subject. It really interests me. But you were talking to me about thinking that your kids are going to be watching one thing on television, and it turns out they're watching something completely different. I always tell my friends, neighbors, and whatnot, YouTube is pretty innocent. Let them browse around YouTube. But you told me, no, I'm being very naive.
Yeah, you know, I find that I go to MSN, I go to Microsoft, I go to, there's a lot of sites I go to, like Engadget, TechCrunch and all that. And you look at some of the news, and all of a sudden you say, wait a minute, that's like a, it's not news, it's not advertising, it's somewhere in between. It's called infomercial. It's sort of like, you know, the top 5 or the top 2 or do you want to do this? And it turns out they're advertising a product. And now they're doing that to kids on YouTube. And, you know, they think they're watching a cartoon, and before you know it, they're selling a product.
And these are not, you know, these are not slimy under the table back office. You're talking about companies like Disney and DreamWorks, and you know, major top level companies. The marketing videos, it's a terrible thing because very often they pick regular computer users to be their spokesperson because they know that regular computer users know the right words to use and the right hey, listen, you as a parent have the responsibility. I can complain all you want about companies like YouTube not filtering their stuff, about Public Citizen, the Centers for Digital Democracy, places like that fighting the good battle for you. It's your responsibility. If you're concerned about what your kid is watching on the internet, it's up to you to stop him.
Yeah. You know, Joe, there's one source I look at. It's PC Magazine. And if you get a chance, you should look at it. They've been doing some research for Black Friday. And they're saying, hey, there's certain things you should hold off buying unless you really need it. Well, we're going to go through that. You know what? Let's take a call right now, okay?
Good time to break. We're between subjects.
All right. Jesse, can we have the caller? Yes. Whom are we speaking with?
SDL.
SDL. What does that stand for?
Joe knows it as Sir Darklust. I'm the guy who suggested you do your weekly tweet announcing what's going to be on your show and all.
Oh, okay. Do you have a question for us?
Yes. This has bothered me for a while now. In the old days, you know, we always used to use utilities programs to clean up the registry, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. CCleaner, Ace Utilities, and all of that. But some people have always said that ultimately, over time, it tends to damage your computer software because it throws out maybe some registry stuff you need, etc. So I was wondering, with the advancement of current operating systems, if we really need that anymore in the first place, or is there enough cleanup stuff in, let's say, a Windows 7, 8, 10, or whatever, Max, to do the same job and maybe more proficiently?
Okay.
If you have any opinions on that.
Yeah, let me answer the question this way, is that the word is registry, and you're talking about registry cleaner, and before that, you know, that's a fancy word for in the early days of Windows, it was called win.ini, and it was nothing more than really a one or two line of operating parameters. And what happens is that I hated this because what Microsoft did was they said that as you operate, we'll keep changing the parameters. So in other words, if you're, let's say, you're running Office and you're running Word, you change the default font from, let's say, Helvetica to Times Roman, so that changes the operating parameter, operating parameter, or the size of the font, you change another one. And this is almost like, my wife will kill me on this, okay? It's like she's in the kitchen and she's cooking. She's taking out this pot and this plate and so on, and everything goes into the sink. And you have all these, what I would call garbage that's sitting in, you know, and it's not really garbage, I got to clean it up, okay? And what it is that in the old days of software, it would be called garbage collection, which is clean it up so that it's, put away if you don't need it anymore. It's like opening up a newspaper and you pull out a page here because you like that and you put the rest on the floor. Oh, I want the crossword puzzle. Let me tear that out. Oh, I want Sudoku. Let me tear that out. And before you know it, you have a lot of stuff. Now, what happens with registry is that you have all these operating parameters you don't need anymore, and when you do a search, you add to the search time, so that that is what slows up a system. Now, the registry cleaner, what they say is, hey, listen, we'll just drop everything off and go back to the default values, and that's it. So are they safe? There's one that I consider very safe. It's EUSING, EUSING. And you can get that from EUSING.com. And some of the others, they want to tell you how good they are, how much they clean up. Yes, they clean up, but they're overly aggressive to try to prove a point. They give false positives. And a false positive is, hey, they're cleaning things that shouldn't have been cleaned up. So
right, I understand that. That's probably why some people say, ultimately, it might throw out something that you actually needed.
Right. So
one of the folks that we have on the air very frequently, Alfred Poor, has told me point blank, flat out, he never ever uses a registry cleaner.
Well, I use it because actually My sister used to bug me all the time because her system keeps running slower and slower. And I've been using, giving her different software to use. And I find that there's only two that I give her. And ever since I give her these two, I said, run it at least once a week, if not more often than that. And I haven't heard from her about her computer for years now. When I say years, at least 2-3 years. And those two are, very simply, they're pretty standard. They're highly regarded. One is CCleaner, and it's other.
I use that one.
And now they have a registry cleaner in there, but it's not as good as Using.com. Okay.
I will try Using.com on your advice.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, those are the only two things I use to clean up.
Let me make one suggestion. There is an option in Using to make a backup before you do the cleanup.
Right.
And you should definitely do that the first few times. I stopped doing that a few years ago, but I did it, and I don't know, several, maybe 10, 15 times, and never found a problem, so then I started trusting them.
I have to tell you, with Using, you know, when you bring it up, it just says, they just ask you a question, do you want to register it? You say no, and then you just go on. There's no ads at all. However, you know, it's beggarware, okay? And with beggarware, you know, but what they ask for is very modest, and I really encourage people, if you like it, you keep using it. It's meant for personal use, for business. They really ask you to, you know, pay the $10, $15. It's really well worth it. Okay?
Thanks.
And I will agree with you, because actually when I do use shareware, freeware, stuff like that, and I do enjoy it, you know, I like the particular program, I do actually send them, you know, a 5 or a 10. Otherwise, people won't make it anymore.
Right. And CCleaner is really, you know, very, very, very useful. In fact, those two are sort of like standard in my, what I call my toolkit. You know, it's like, you know, it's like a doctor, you got to go fix certain things. And whenever someone says their system's running slow, those are the first two things I run. And I'll tell you, the third thing I run only when I feel it's necessary is defragging the drive. I try not to defrag a drive.
And when do you prefer to use that?
I just, you know, realistically, I just use whatever's in Microsoft. But if it's a big drive, I want to do it fast. I would use a JK defrag, which is now called My Defrag. Okay. So that's what I would use. But other than that, now, if you don't mind, I think we spoke about this maybe 2 weeks ago. Microsoft has come up with a Windows cleaner, and this is from Microsoft. And what it does is that it refreshes.
I could use Windows cleaner. I hate doing Windows. I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself.
Well, let me tell you what this Windows cleaner is. It does the ultimate job. All right. In other words, a good example is that you're running Windows 7, and you went through an upgrade. And you convert it to Windows 10, and let's face it, if you have any crap or you have any bloatware, it gets carried over into Windows 10. And if you had to restore Windows 10, how would you do it if you don't have the original distribution? So they came up with the software. I don't have the name right now, but what you do when you run it, it will clean off everything and give you the original distribution. However, it also cleans off whatever application programs may have been installed on it, good or bad, but it retains the data. It won't kill your data. Okay?
All right. Let me ask you this.
Well, make it quick, because we're going to have to sign off soon, okay? Go ahead.
Okay. Windows 7, that's the only Windows I'm using now, except for some XP. There's a thing called disk cleanup. I usually run that before I defrag. What do you think of disk cleanup in those systems?
Well, before you defrag, you should run through as many of the cleanup utilities before you do a defrag, because otherwise, you know.
I do.
Okay.
Let me
interrupt. Say, if you have a solid state drive, do not defrag.
Yeah, I heard you say that before, and I do not have one, so that doesn't apply to me at this point in time.
Well, if you want to run faster, replace the hard disk drive with a solid state drive. You're going to be surprised. In other words, the boot up time, normally anywhere from 60 to 90 seconds, could be as you could bring it down to about 20 seconds, 15 seconds.
I'm not a speed freak like that, you know.
Okay, listen, we have to...
I can watch the video. All right, you guys take it easy, yeah. And thanks for the help.
Well, we thank you for the call, and, keep listening to us, and we thank you for the caller.
You can always ask a brief question by tweeting us at PC Radio 212.
The website for the Personal Computer Show is pcradioshow.org, and you can send us your email or with your questions, and we might use it on the air. And we communicate via Twitter at PC Radio 212. We can be heard each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on PRN.FM and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on WBAI-FM. And that's 99.5 in New York. In the meantime, stay in touch, keep on computing, and remember, back up, back up, back up. I'm Hank Key, and I'm in the studio, and on behalf of Joe King and Michael Horowitz, we thank you for listening. Until we meet again, stay tuned, same time, same station. Happy computing, and good night.